Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Some U.S. agriculture sectors will be hit harder than others by a one-year ban on agriculture imports into Russia. The ban was announced Wednesday as a retaliatory measure in response to economic sanctions by the U.S. and other Western countries due to ongoing military unrest in Ukraine. In all, U.S. ag exports to Russia amount to about $1 billion a year. The ban is most likely to hit U.S. shipments of soybeans, pork, chicken, and nuts. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending July 31st. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 21.7. Next year, 1.1. Corn this year, 4.8. Next year, 29.9. Soybeans this year, 3.5. Next year, 37.1. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization today says that world food prices hit their lowest level in 6 months in July on the back of sharply lower cereal and oil seeds prices. The FAO's monthly price index averaged 203.9 points in July, down 2.1% from a revised June value. The FAO monthly food price index measures the change in price of a basket of food commodities and is a leading indicator for food inflation. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,474. It's up 31 points. The NASDAQ 4366 is up almost 11. And the S&P 500 is 1924, and it is up 4 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather across the Midwest will continue to be mixed but mostly favorable as we move forward through the next full week to 10 days. It looks as though rain of significance fell across portions of Iowa and Missouri, northeastern Kansas last night, even portions of Illinois coming up with some beneficial moisture. Some of these areas had been rather dry previously, and the moisture was a big boon for crop development potential as we move forward through the next week to 10 days or so. Follow-up precipitation is needed and will likely occur in quite a bit of this region eventually, and the moisture will likely help to reinforce the better crop environment that's going to be evolving as a result of last night's rain. We will expect the northern portions of the Midwest to see a bit of a drying bias as we move forward through this next week to 10 days. By the north, I'm talking about the eastern Dakotas, portions of Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern Iowa, and parts of northern Illinois, maybe portions of Michigan as well. Now, it won't be absolutely dry across this region. The precipitation that occurs will be periodic, but it is expected to be quite light as well, and we'll probably see a net drying biased environment for a while. Now, soil moisture is at favorable levels in Wisconsin and parts of northern Illinois and a few other areas around the region, but those two areas in particular have an abundance of moisture, and net drying for a while is not going to create any kind of increased stress or potential threat to the production potential there. However, in portions of Minnesota, northern Iowa, areas in the eastern Dakotas, and parts of Michigan may end up seeing somewhat of a bigger issue with dryness, although Michigan really shouldn't be included in that. Minnesota's had an extended period of drier biased conditions along with northern Iowa, and their subsoil moisture has been somewhat conserved by the milder conditions that have occurred this summer. So the situation is not a crisis, even though when you stop and look at the statistics for the region, it certainly has been drier than usual for an extended period of time. The crops in these areas will see a great bit of deteriorating potential if the temperatures get warmer than normal without a significant amount of rain falling. But warmer than normal weather, it does not seem to be very likely for the area, at least not in the near future. Temperatures will be normal to slightly cooler biased, and that will help to conserve the moisture that is present in the region. We will see some shower activity, but it's just not going to be very impressive across the region. Forecast does allow for at least a little bit of moisture. A couple of cool fronts will move across the region over the next week to 10 days, and each will bring in at least a few showers to slow down the drying tendency. The first opportunity for rain in Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas will probably come up as we get into the latter part of the weekend, from late Saturday into Sunday, maybe lingering into Monday. The precipitation will certainly be welcome, but a greater amount of rain will be needed to make a bigger difference to the soil situation. And a second frontal system will move across those very same areas during the latter part of next week and into the following weekend. And again, the same scenario is expected to play out, where rainfall is going to be somewhat restricted, but at least a little bit of shower activity will occur. For the lower parts of the Midwest, additional shower and thunderstorm activity is expected to occur as we go through these next few days. Many areas in the lower parts of the Midwest will be impacted, and sufficient amounts of rain will occur to maintain a generally favorable environment for crop development. Our temperatures across the Midwest are expected to be slightly cooler biased for a little while. Highs in the 70s and lower 80s will be common across the region today, tomorrow, and probably on Saturday. We'll look for somewhat warmer weather to occur as we move Sunday into Monday. We'll look for the high temperatures at that time, mostly in the 80s across the region. A few 70s, though, will continue in the Great Lakes region. And it looks like our low temperatures at night will be mostly 60s, with some lower 70s in the south and a few upper 50s in the north. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, 650 and a quarter down 6. Soft September wheat, 562 down 6. September corn, 358 and a half down 4 3/4. December, 370 down 4 1/4. July, 397 and a quarter down 4 1/2. August soybeans, 1239 and 3/4 up 2 3/4. September, 1097 and a half up 1. November, 1077 and 3/4 down 2 1/4. August soybean meal, 390 up $2. September, 362.60 up 160. September soybean oil, 35.73 down 13. August live cattle, 157.72 and a half down 82 and a half. August feeder cattle, 221.27 and a half down 5. And August lean hogs, 116.50, and they are up 10. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
You know, I will be glad when this crop is put to bed. We know it's big, and we're living and dying by every rain event. And to me, it seems as though we ought to begin to really focus in on that demand side, and with that in mind, it's pretty good to see some corn and soybean exports on the new crop.
Yeah, it takes the market a long time to shift from all the supply worries to all the demand talk. But certainly the exports looked reasonably good, most of that scheduled to go to Asia. I thought the thing this morning that we need to talk about on the corn side is crude made six-month lows yesterday and really has been struggling in here. Brazil also came in and offered farmer subsidies for corn, and I think that says that they will make some ethanol from corn, and also that they will be pretty hefty competition on the export side of things. So this will probably keep us locked in this sideways for a little bit. 374 on the high side on Dease corn, 360, 362 on the downside. If we could go above the 20-day moving average at 375 and a half, we would see an upside breakout. We do have an up week going, a little gap in the Dease corn too at 378, left a couple of weeks ago on both the daily and weekly chart.
Soybeans a sideways affair as well?
It is definitely sideways. You know, Novi Beans tried that 1060 yesterday, found some support there, pushed back overnight trade to almost a 1085. That's a new high for this move. but pretty much just a sideways affair within that trading range.
What about wheat? Wheat was trying to come out of the well.
Wheat has come out of the well. Seasonally reflects that we've got a bottom in place. My guess is that we will see some downside going into this report on Tuesday. I do not expect to see that to be more than a minor bottom and another leg higher. I wouldn't be surprised to see Dease corn trade as high as 615 or 620 before this thing's all said and done with. It's 580 now.
A very quick word on livestock.
Livestock market has been super choppy. I think the pork market will be hurt by Putin sanctions against the U.S. and other nations that put sanctions on them. I would expect to see a struggle in the hog market and the cattle market, probably be a mixed affair.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. December corn is 370 and a quarter, down 4. November beans, 1079 and a half, down a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.